WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, hello, and welcome to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns, and we're here talking about the issues of the day. We have a fascinating story I'll be reading right from the Salem News in just a moment. We've talked a lot about the opioid problem. This is an incredible story of police work and a parent, and you just got to take your hats off to these guys for what they were able to do. We'll talk about that in just a moment. It's a fantastic story. Rick Moore will join us with Tim Kearns from the Cape Ann area. We'll update some of those news stories for you. We also will take a look at sports today. And we also, the Salem News has out their Player of the Year for boys basketball, and their all-star teams are out in today's edition of the Salem News. And so let me begin just a quick note here. The stabbing at Salem State College late yesterday afternoon. Two names have been announced today. The professor that was stabbed was an English professor, Pierre Walker. He's 58 years old. And the student, a senior biology major, Stephen Castain, a 24-year-old, is going to court today in Salem. And he has been charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, attempted murder, mayhem, and strangulation or suffocation. That incident happened at about 5:15 yesterday afternoon in Meyer Hall at Salem State College, and again, it was very quickly quelled by the officials there. And anyways, that was kind of a breaking news story, obviously, yesterday afternoon. Those names trickling out this morning, finally. But that's what we have for you. We'll keep you posted on that. Also, let me just click on one more thing down here at the on the Salem News front page of the Salem News. Remember the student or the young girl that was kidnapped out of Hamilton? Well, the Abigail Hanna, the Topsfield resident, who was charged with that, with the kidnapping the 2-year-old girl, apparently has had some kind of evaluations, but she is not cooperating, according to a story in today's Salem News. So Ms. Hanna refused to participate in interviews, refused to participate in testing, and refused to sign waivers for access to certain records. That, according to Essex Assistant District Attorney Kristen Buxton, she told the Newburyport judge during a hearing Wednesday morning. So that story is not advancing along, a tragic story. Well, let me look at the one other story here. I'm just going to jump to the item just for a moment here, and then we got Rick Moore coming up with Tim Kearns in a moment here. But there was a Marblehead firefighters put out a fire it looks like a van or a box truck that caught fire on Boubier Road in Marblehead on Wednesday. So it's kind of a smoky fire, but they got it out, and it was apparently the truck had some generators in it and some other things in it that caused for that smoky fire. Okay, let me get to this story. This is written by Julie Manjanis. Before I get to this story, let me just tell you what's on our website for videos here today. We've got a number of them. Remember, we mentioned, first of all, the from top to bottom, we've got Johnny Carson from 1989 with some hilarious phrases that you will never hear. This bit holds up pretty well. There's a number of phrases that you actually will not hear. And then we've got, there's nothing cuter than owls. And I've seen the snowy owl around this area over the last several winters here and there. But this is a barn owl from the BBC. So if you're into that kinds of things, a great little video on the on this young owl. And then we talked about the so-called Larry Sanders Show with the comedian that died last week. And they got a little clip. We have a little clip of the so-called Larry Sanders Show, which was kind of a spoof on the on those talk shows, which would have been kind of a spoof or a take on the old Johnny Carson show as well. So anyways, we've got that for you here on the website. Let's get back to our front page story from the Salem News. So again, I noticed in the paper this young man, Frank Raffi, who passed away this week, young man from Beverly. But there's more to this story than just that. So in other words, here's this young man that passes away, and now listen to this story. I probably just have to read it word for word because I can't kind of summarize this. But this is an incredible story. Police are crediting the grieving father of a heroin overdose victim for helping them find the dealer they believe sold the fatal dose. Beverly Farms business owner Frank Raffa Sr., who had just found his son Frank Jr. unconscious on Saturday, handed his son's iPhone to Beverly Police Detective Dana Nicholson and told me to take the phone and do whatever I could to find out who sold his son the drugs that did this to him. Nicholson wrote in a report, "Now as the Raffa family prepares to bury their son, a man named Jose Polino, 26 of Dorchester, is being held on $20,000 bail, charged with heroin distribution, possession of cocaine with intent to distribute, and conspiracy to violate the drug laws. Nicholson and other Beverly police detectives used the iPhone to pose as Frank Raffa Jr., then lured Polino to Beverly to buy two more bags of heroin from him. Since Nicholson doesn't look like Raffa, the detective came up with another ruse, telling Polino in a text message that he was sending out one of his employees to conduct the transaction because he claimed his father was around. The plan worked. Nicholson dressed in the type of clothes and gear a contractor usually wears and covered with a sawdust, walked out to the Volvo and pretended to be an employee of Raffa's. After making the deal, other detectives moved in and arrested Polino, who they said had also hidden five other small twists, the corners of plastic bags, in his mouth. Police believe Polino had also been distributing heroin in Beverly on Easter Sunday because he'd been sent a text message to Raffa Jr. asking if he wanted drugs. They would later find pieces of plastic bags with cocaine residue in a toilet at the station. According to a police report, they believe Polino was hiding that drug between his buttocks and, while in the holding cell after booking, tried to flush them. Beverly police were assisted by officers from Wenham and Manchester. After hearing details of the case on Tuesday, Salem District Court Judge Matthew Machera increased Polino's bail from $5,000 set by a bail clerk over the weekend to $20,000 cash, citing among his reasons the overdose death. Frank Raffa Sr. said he didn't think twice about handing over his son's phone. "I would help any police officer," he said. He thanked the Beverly police for their quick work and for all the efforts they made before his son's death as well. "They're all great," said Raffa. "They worked so hard for so long to try to save Frankie's life." And while he knows that one small dealer has been taken off the street won't save all the other families out there, it's a start. I'm going to work my hardest to help young people," said Raffa. "I've got to get more people behind this." Raffa Jr. was 33, the father of a three-year-old son, and was preparing to someday take over the family construction business, according to his obituary. And in his obituary, family members described his great sense of humor and his personable nature, but also his talent for woodworking. He was a 2001 graduate of Beverly High School, where he played 4 years of hockey. Visiting hours will be held at the Campbell Funeral Home on Thursday today, and a funeral mass will take place Friday morning at St. Margaret's Church in Beverly Farms. Polino, meanwhile, is scheduled to appear in court again on April 6th. And again, that's a front-page story right at the very top from the Salem News. What a great story that is. And Julie Manjanis, the author of that story, terrific job. And really just a great, great story. And our thoughts, condolences are with that Raffa family. And Frank Raffa Sr., what great work he did in handing over that iPhone. And it's interesting, you hear the iPhone stories, the national iPhone stories and the work that's going on. There's a dad that just stepped up and did the right thing, and a salute to him and that family. And again, our prayers, our condolences for them. All right, that's this portion of the program. Just ahead, Rick Moore from Gloucester, and we'll in the Cape Ann area, and we got a lot more coming up, plus a check of sports. So stay with us right here on North Shore Today. Rick?
Okay, Bill, thanks. Up on Cape Ann from the Gloucester Times, the chief administrative officer for Mayor Safatia Romeo Taken is leaving in June 30, and that is Jim Destino. Destino, of course, well known in the city and as the owner of Destino's, but also helping out as the CAO for the last year and a half, has said that he is fulfilling his promise to his family by stepping down on June 30. So a bit of a blow to the administration of Mayor Romeo Taken in Gloucester, as Jim Destino will be leaving the CAO post. And I don't see anything in here about a possible successor, but then I haven't really studied the article either. One other thing of note, I guess, up in Gloucester is the auditorium roof at the high school has been leaking. Well, the whole roof has been leaking everywhere, especially into the third floor, but also all over the gym and all over the auditorium. But apparently there has been a temporary fix for the auditorium, which means that the local production of the high school play called Into the Woods will take place, after all, in the auditorium. So apparently there's a temporary fix. Public work crews, according to Ray Lamont, cut off a failed 40-foot interior drain that had been sending water down onto the auditorium's seats. And Public Works Director Mike Hale said Wednesday he believes the repairs can serve as a temporary fix for the remainder of the school year. The play will take place from April 7 to April 9, and students and adults will not be allowed to use the doors of the auditorium. They have to go to the sides to get in. They won't be allowed to use the front doors. So I'm not sure why or what that's all about, but there you go. And I think that's it. One other little thing. There is a film premiere of Midnight Special that will take place in Gloucester to benefit the Gloucester Writers' Center. The film was produced by Gloucester's Sarah Green, who was a former Academy Award nominee for Midnight Special, and or before Midnight Special. The film is Midnight Special, and she's a producer of this. This will take place at the Cape Ann Cinema and Stage, 21 Main Street in Gloucester, on Thursday, that's today, from 6:30 to 7, the screening followed by a reception, and a question and answer with Sarah Green, $30 at the door. So that takes care of that. And Bill, we're going to talk with Tim Kearns again about stuff, and I'm not quite sure where to go, except I think, Tim, maybe we should start with the latest on the only person who gets any ink in the presidential campaign, and that is Donald Trump. He's done it once again. I don't know if you heard what he did yesterday, but are you familiar with that, what went on?
Yes, my wife mentioned it to me last night, and once again, you know, Donald Trump puts his foot in it, alienating more voters. I'm sure a good percentage of the American women were quite offended by the statement regarding their rights to privacy and the fact that he would like to see women who had abortions be punished. I'm not sure he elaborated on what degree of punishment or what type of punishment he would like to see them be inflicted with, but I would say probably better than 50% of the American women who read that or paid attention to it or realized the implications of what he said would change their minds or hope to change their minds if they were even considering him as a viable candidate. He just continues to alienate more and more groups within this country with just outlandish statements and then an attempt to backtrack. But once you let, you know, once you let the cat out of the bag, you can't get it back in. And you know, he is not, to me, he's not good for American politics, because this isn't the kind of politics that is needed. He is divisive. He just speaks off the cuff. He has no idea what he's talking about. His economic plans have no chance of succeeding. Economists on both sides of the aisle say it won't work. And both looking at not only Trump's but Rubio's plan, same thing, and Ted Cruz, they're not going to work the way that they have described them.
All right, we'll have to get some Republican counter to that, I guess, Tim, or
but
I don't even know
Republicans
if they're Republicans.
That are
well,
saying
we'll
the
have to talk to them.
Are not going to work.
Okay. Well, the thing that jumps into my eyesight is I remember quite a while ago, I think it was in 2004 when John Kerry was running for president, he was accused of being a flip-flopper, and it cost him. It didn't cost him a nomination, but he didn't win, whenever that was, whenever John Kerry was running. And I believe it was against George Bush, too. And he was accused of being a flip-flopper when, in fact, he had reestablished positions that were taken, you know, over the years. He did change positions over the years, which people do. But he was accused of being a flip-flopper, and that stuck with him. He flip-flops. These guys, and I'm not sure it's just to one candidate, but they do it in a very aggressive way, and they're proud of it.
Yeah, it's the changing dynamics of the political scene in America today, and we see it every time they go to another state to campaign in the primaries, they've got a different message on the same topic. And again, it's obviously they don't believe that people are actually watching national TV. They're not reading newspapers. They're not on the internet at all, seeing what these guys are saying in the state next door. And when they come into their state, they're saying something totally different. Back in 2004, when Kerry was running against Bush, it was the Bush political machine, the cow roe, the attack dog, who was doing it. Bush didn't have to go after anybody. It was all of his aides who were doing all of the attack and the attack ads that were coming out. Now it's the candidates themselves that are saying these things and going after each other. I mean, I have not watched a Republican debate simply because you don't see a debate over the issues. You see a debate over personalities. You see a debate over backgrounds. You see snide remarks. You see insults. You see derogatory. And that's not what the American electoral process is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be learning about the candidates, learning about their positions, so you can effectively evaluate who is best to vote for. This is just trying to vote on emotion purely with no rhyme or reason to the process. Oh, I like what he says about this, or I like what he says about that. But what about the person? What about his policy? Well, I don't care about that. He says he's going to do this. Okay. If that's your rationale, please do me a favor. Don't vote.
Well, that's what Trump said. If you're not going to vote for me, don't vote. Tim, have you done this date in history today?
I did.
What's catches your eye on something that maybe is of interest?
Well, certainly there were two major medical cases that had rulings come down. One was the Terry Schiavo case in 2005, in which she died after being taken off the ventilator and the feeding tube and all after 13 days. And Karen Ann Quinlan, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that she could be taken off life support. And there was a long, drawn-out court case over her being kept on a life support system. And she lived for 9 years. That was in 1976, and she died in 1985.
Wow.
So, but again, she had no quality of life. She was on. She didn't have a breathing tube, but she had to be fed through tubes. She was on colostomy bags, and she never woke up. She never come out of the coma. 9 years. So the agony of her parents for those 9 years, I just can't imagine. So those two big medical fronts. The Dalai Lama went into exile, fled over the Himalayas into India, being chased out by the Chinese, who would soon install their own new 5-year-old Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama still is in exile today. He travels the world freely. I remember a couple of years ago when President Obama invited him to speak in this country and before Congress, and the Chinese were up in arms because, again, he's basically a criminal in their eyes. And if he goes back to Tibet, they would arrest him.
And worldwide, Tim, religiously or spiritually, he's a worldwide spiritual leader who's been quoted. He's authors, I believe, books and things like that, and people all over the world follow him.
Yeah, he's also a Nobel Peace Prize winner for, again, his efforts at trying to bring about world peace and also trying to resolve the situation within his native country of Tibet. He's certainly to be admired for his persistence in his opposition to Chinese domination and oppression in Tibet and in any other place where it occurs in the world. Because, again, like the Pope, he has that power to bring a message. How influential it is depends upon who's listening to it and who wants to apply it. But certainly that message is there.
Okay. Finally, Tim, any thoughts in sports? Anything comes to mind? Any editorial ideas about anything?
Well, you have to sort of like what Belichick is doing in terms of the Patriots off season. They still have the draft coming up, but he's signing again those value players as certain Boston sports writers start to like to call them, and they like to say that you can't win with value players, you know. But I don't know, for all the value that Belichick's gotten, he's certainly got a lot out of them. And, you know, he's gotten 4 Super Bowls, 6 appearances, AFC titles, which don't mean a whole lot unless you win the whole thing. Anyways, but still, you know, these players have produced winning record after winning record after winning record, and you can look at other teams, they have lots of all-stars, and they don't have winning records, and they don't go to the playoffs. So having all number one draft choices doesn't guarantee you success. Having good football players who can learn the system, who can execute a system, that's what's going to give you success.
How'd you like his response at the NFL meetings a couple of weeks ago when he had to sit at a table? He moved all the microphones out of the way, and he pulled a Marshawn Lynch.
Well, you know, I think he's probably making up for last year. Last year they said he was overly gregarious. He was very talkative. He gave a lot of expanded answers to questions that he was asked. And I think in light of the what has gone on politically within the NFL regarding Deflategate, I think he's just gone back to the old Bill Belichick. I'll give you what I need to give you, and I'm not going to give you any more. You know, this is regarding Deflategate. I just bought a new vehicle, and it has a tire pressure sensor. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that on a daily basis, I will go to that sensor just to see. They never stay the same.
No. Not only that, in really, really cold weather, your sensor will go on because your tires lose pressure up to at least 2 pounds.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, they'll go from 39 to 37. And I'm going, now how does that happen unless it's some universal gas law?
No, okay. I guess they could have used you. All right, that's Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. Bill?
All right, Rick, thank you. We'll take a fast break here, and then we'll be back with a peek at sports. Don't go away.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Josh Arnold's Trending Now.
What do you think of the presidential primaries now? I mean, it's you know, we've made it this far along. Any sense of how it's... Do you see anything coming out of this other than a Trump-Clinton square-off in November?
Trending Now with Josh Arnold on MSONewsSports.com. Stay in contact with us by following us on Twitter at MSONewsSports. Email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com. MSONewsSports@gmail.com. MSONewsSports, keeping you in contact with the North Shore. Welcome back to North Shore Today. Time for sports, and we begin on the front page of the item sports section today, where their sports editor Steve Krause writes a story headlined, High School Coaches Divided on the Fate of the Football Playoff System. Very good story here. Steve kind of outlines a couple of different sides of this story. Gene Constantino, the principal at Lynn Classical High School, with some reservations on the playoff system, while Jim O'Leary, the athletic director at St. John's Prep, kind of a proponent of it. Also was shared some quotes in there on the story, but good story, good read. Some of those things coming up in next month, coming up very soon. The football coaches will be meeting, I believe it's 1 week from tomorrow, April 8th. But full details right there in the front page of today's item sports, the daily item of Lynn. Also, in fact, I think you probably can get that online at itemlive.com. The front page of the Salem News sports section, they're continuing their winter all-star teams, and boys basketball featured in today's, and Alex Sanchez of Salem High School, a senior guard, is the Player of the Year from the Salem News in boys basketball. Congratulations to Alex. Well, here's what they say in the article. Any defender that stopped to think about how he could guard Sanchez easily due to his 5'5" frame found himself beaten off the dribble or watching a precision pass sail away before that notion could even be fully formed. It was a banner season for the Northeastern Conference Player of the Year as he led the 21-win Witches in scoring with 16.5 points per game and led the Northeastern Conference in assists with 5.4 assists per game. He had a fantastic season, says his coach Tom Doyle, and he can really get to the basket with either hand. Great honor for Alex Sanchez of Salem High School, and a very deserved honor for him. Also, Tommy Doyle, there's a letter to the editor, very supportive of Tommy Doyle. Tom Doyle has done a great job at Salem High basketball, and again, they had that undefeated Northeastern Conference season, so kind of a historic season for them. Well, we are getting some nice weather out there. I think that's all going to be changing in another few days or so, but spring sports are just around the corner. The colleges have started a high school's schedule starting up a little bit later on. In fact, I believe the Marblehead girls lacrosse team is in action today. And so we'll keep you posted on different things. So check back with us on the website. And again, a special thanks to Rick Moore, Tim Kearns with us here on North Shore today here on MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.